ghost stories online.
Picture it, Halloween night. You're at the Halloween party. You're a kid. And someone brings out the insert blank here. You know, everybody say it. Ouija board. What do you do? You know what it can do. You know how it can go downhill fairly quickly, but none of your friends don't, and they're all having a good time, so you just kind of let them do their thing. And then suddenly it wants you to be involved. And it reveals quite a bit about itself. It reveals quite a bit about what type of thing it is. And it's not something very good. You find yourself planchette to demon, if you will. Not face to face, but planchette to demon. It's communicating with you. It's told you what it is. What do you do next? I don't think that was in any Choose Your Own Adventure books, but it certainly is in our next story. Take a listen. The events in this story take place in 1990 in Carson City, Nevada. I was 11. My cousins are 14 and 16. It was a dark and stormy night. Actually, no, it was not. It was unseasonably warm for late October and Halloween. Halloween had been long anticipated, and we were looking forward to the costumes that we had come up with. We'd just been given the sad students against drunk driving spiel at school to reinforce just how stupid they thought we all were. Yes, we knew there were some stupid kids who thought that drinking and driving was cool, but the majority of us were not interested in becoming corpses. So we enjoyed partying on Halloween and portraying Halloween in a peaceful way. So we're all being inspired teenagers. Well, as I was still a preteen at this point, decided to be accident victims. We had really cool zombie makeup made from flour, glow-in-the-dark paint, glitter, water, and tissue paper. With a gallon of Aquanet hairspray, plain tees, jeans, and a little fake blood. Simple costumes, but lots of fun. I should explain that the we in this little gathering was my two older cousins and myself. I was in sixth grade while they were in junior high and high school. Instead of trick-or-treating that year, we were headed to a party with some of my oldest cousins' friends from school. That I was invited was amazing. I was never invited to anything. Being an introvert and extremely shy, the party was totally cool. But because it was being chaperoned by the kid hosting its rental units, we showed up and the party was already in full swing. Kids were laughing and joking, dancing and bobbing for apples. It was a regular Halloween party. My older cousin had a major crush on the guy who had invited us to the party and immediately disappeared into the crowd of kids. My younger cousin, the more conscientious of the two siblings, said that she'd hang out with me. We got pulled into a group of kids about her age and eyes. She is only 2 years older than I am. We played a few games. At some point, she wandered off to go do something else, and I was herded off with a group of the older kids to play a game that I never heard of before. They were going to talk to ghosts with this device called a Ouija board. I was a total noob. I had no idea what Ouija boards were, even let alone how dangerous they could be. Some of the older girls looked kind of nervous, but the guy who was in charge of the little group reassured everyone that there was nothing to be afraid of. So we all got into a circle around this board and we began to watch. We were in a dimly lit room. Two of the guys sat on either side of the board and asked questions, simple ones at first, the usual, is anyone there? Are there any ghosts that want to talk to us? Have any kids died tonight that we know? That one got attention. Now, I'm a born skeptic. I tend to not believe things on face value. I prefer to do a lot of research, ask a lot of probing questions, make informed decisions. The kids of my generation and the one before mine, yeah, not so much. There were a lot of oohs and hush, hush from the girls and guys when the planchette moved. And we got a response. It said, yes. They asked to tell us who it was that died tonight. I don't remember what the name was, but it left everyone confused. The name given was of a kid who had recently died. They were killed by a drunk driver and had been one of the examples in the demonstration we'd been given that afternoon at school. I tried really hard to keep my snickers to myself as they continued to ask this spirit questions. I failed miserably. The spirit suddenly said goodbye, and the planchette stopped moving, and all eyes rested on me. I just shook my head and drank my soda, asking quietly, you really believe that the spirit of a kid who died at the hands of a drunk driver wanted to come and talk to us? Honestly, I think there was a lot of garbage. You'd have thought I had said that MC Hammer had two heads and was a female crossdresser. The room was dead silent. I shook my head and looked at the two guys who had been sitting there with the board between them and smiled. Tell us who you really are. I may not have known anything about the Ouija board when I got there, but I was a pretty quick study. I also know BS when I hear it. No one was more surprised than the guy whose eyes I held when the planchette moved on its own. Did I mention that neither of them was touching the planchette any longer? Will a plastic pointer moved too? No. As in no, I'm not going to tell you who I am. I set my soda down, crossed the floor to stand beside the board. I was highly suspicious. Should explain a little bit more. I've always been well-versed in the occult and demons. I've studied the afterlife, demons, the dead, vampires, zombies, you name it! Since I was 6 or 7, at least. I started studying the afterlife, demons, the devil, good and evil, when I was much younger. That happens when you have a mother who beats the holy word into your head with one fist and manipulates and abuses you with the other. To be fair, she was certifiable, but that's a story for another time. So I approached the board and asked it what it meant by no. It replied, you. What it turned out, the spirit wanted was me to trade places with the second boy. I did. Sat across from the guy who had gotten out the board to begin with. He looked at me and spoke low enough that only I could hear him. You're a believer. I just smiled, ran my fingers over his, and gestured to the board. Shall we? When the planchette moved to yes before we could touch it, I laughed. He looked decidedly uncomfortable. But he put his hands on the side of the planchette and waited. I placed my fingers near his on the planchette and took a deep breath, centering myself. Locking gazes with him, I smirked and slid my fingers back a little way. Are you a demon? The board went to yes. What do you want with us? Free. I shook my head. No. I felt the planchette starting to fight us. You may try to tell me you have good intentions. You may try to tell me that you only want to be helpful. I will never believe a demon. Only wicked things come from the spawn of hell. At that point, the room fell silent and the planchette stopped moving. The guy across from me was sweating bullets and staring at me as if to ask what I was doing. I shrugged. So, I asked cheerfully, are you going to try to lie to us and tell us you only want to help us and be our friend? Are you going to promise us our heart's desire if only we'll do a small favor for you? I winked at the guy across from me. I didn't think so. It's time for you to go and us to say goodbye. The planchette hurriedly spelled out, wait. Well? Need help. I frowned at this and scoffed, that my mind was going 100 miles an hour. People in hell want ice water. What's your point? Please? I blew out a breath, steeled myself for what my natural response was and said, not tonight. We'll speak again. In my head, I kept up the dialogue, and I hoped that none of it was betraying my eyes. If you honestly want to help, come to me again without the aid of this board, and I'll do the Christian thing and help you. If you're lying to me, burning in hell will be the least of your worries. At that point, I felt a hand on the back of my neck and the planchette moved to the goodbye position. The guy stared at me in silence. I just sat there staring at my hands for what I don't know how long. I vaguely heard kids behind us saying how stupid it was and that we had been moving the planchette. The guy, I couldn't quite meet his eyes, started putting away the board. "You were amazing," I shrugged. I didn't let anyone push me around. And he or it was being pushy. He was leading the two of you around by the nose. He did a classic guy move on me, slipping his fingers under my chin and lifting my head. When I looked him in the eyes, I swear I thought he was going to kiss me. Now, not that I would have been opposed, because, let's face it, he was a great-looking guy. When I looked deep into his eyes, I got the creepiest feeling. His hand was on my shoulder by then, and he was backing me towards the wall. I was a spry and weary youth, and more than used to getting myself out of sticky situations. Let him get close to the wall before I reversed our positions and pressed my fingers against his lips. "Don't talk, just listen." I recited the Lord's Prayer silently so no one else would overhear and whispered in his ear that if the demon didn't release him, I wouldn't help it. The guy stiffened, looked down at me. Shaking my hands off, he gave me a weird look and told me that I was creepy, muttered a "Happy Halloween," and blended off into the crowd. The party lasted for 3 more hours before it started breaking up. It was well after midnight by the time we got home. I had rather interesting dreams that night, courtesy of the demon. He wasn't far away from me for long. When I woke up the next morning, my bed was in shambles. It looked like I had thrown a pack of crazed weasels into it and let them go to town. After I finished my morning rituals of cleaning, changing clothes, and teasing my oldest cousin, I wandered outside to be alone. I could usually guarantee that I'd be left alone outside. I think my cousins were allergic to sunlight. I wandered about in the yard until I was in a secluded part away from prying eyes and ears. Then I waited. I didn't have long to wait, though. I felt the hand on the back of my neck again. "Are you ready to talk to me straight?" I heard the voice in my head. "You were bold to talk to me like this, little one." I think I snorted. I don't remember. I cut right to the chase. "You said you needed help." I felt the skitter of what could only be described as sharp fingernails over the back of my neck. "And you will help me, won't you, little one?" "Maybe. That depends on if you are honest with me, and trust me, I know a lie when I hear it." I was already pretty sure that the demon was lying to me and just wanted to use me. I didn't trust blindly. It got me, in a way, in too much trouble. So I waited. Eventually, after a long while of neck petting and annoying silence, I began to pray. Finally, after what seemed like forever, the feeling went away. I never heard from this demon again. I was super glad, as he was very creepy. I was surprised at just how quickly he went away. No exorcism, no extra coaxing. Maybe my spirit, my belief system, knew that I would not be as easy of a target as it expected me to be. Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.